It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Gary Timmerman. Dr. Timmerman is from Sioux City, South Dakota, and he's a regent of the American College of Surgeons and has been one of the key leaders with our firearm strategy team work group. Dr. Timmerman.
Well, I think I'm the last speaker of this group.
Next to last.
Next to last. First of all, a correction, it's Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
What did I say?
Sioux City. It's okay.
It's called the City Boys.
My disclosure is that I have no disclosures other than the similar wink in the eye of Dr. Rogers, who is a black man from Chicago. I'm a white guy from South Dakota who's a lifetime gun owner, so somewhat stereotyped, I guess. The American College of Surgeons in the Board of Regents back in January proposed a several-step method in which we wanted to look at gun violence across the United States, and it included a number of issues pertaining to improving awareness about gun violence and decreasing gun violence. In drafting the statement, leadership again had 9 action steps looking at reducing firearm injuries. This included within the 9 steps that the ACS should develop a focus and strategy group to include firearm owning and non-firearm owning fellows that are familiar with firearms to discuss firearm injury prevention strategies that each could support and for which a durable advocacy platform could potentially be developed around. We called this the FAST group, Firearm Strategy Team, and it was created by the College of Surgeons to serve as an advisory capacity toward the development of effective and durable strategy reducing techniques for firearm injury, death, and disability. Well, although this approach has led to dialogue between those who differ with respect to their views on the benefit or non-benefit of firearms and personal liberty, all of us agreed upon the critical importance of reducing firearm injuries and death. Through this dialogue, those of us that were firearm owners began to realize that we were a community of firearm owners are often approached as part of the problem, but less commonly approached as part of the solution. Well, as openly compassionate about those that have been before me have stated their concerns about firearms, I would tell you that there are those that believe that they sleep well at night. Well, there are many out there that believe they sleep well at night because they've done everything they can do to remove all firearms. And yet there are also those out there that sleep well at night knowing that they have a gun in their nightstand. Well, with these totally opposite opinions about how to go about addressing this issue, the one goal that we had as a group was to foster, provide, and promote a forum of civil dialogue within our own professional organization, again with the goal of moving toward a consensus regarding programs or interventions aimed at reducing firearm injuries and deaths. So a little bit about our group. These are surgical leaders, mostly from the COT, who are firearm owners and knowledgeable of firearms. I can tell you I thought I knew a lot about firearms till I joined this group. I'm a novice. We represent all geographic areas, not just your cities. We represent rural areas. We represent Midwest, the coasts. We represent hunters, sports shooters, those that carry a weapon only for self-defense, law enforcement, and those that have had previous or currently active military service. They have worked, many of them, in the COT injury prevention capacity, sincerely trying to find solutions. And the one priority that I think all of us held ourselves accountable was that we had the ability to work as a team player. Our deliberations were numerous, from the COT having their deliberations at their meetings to those of us in the Board of Regents, where we discussed the pros and cons of what we're trying to get to. There were countless teleconferences, numerous email communications, which culminated in a full two-day, about 8 hours a day, retreat in Chicago in June. So, what did we come up with? Dun, da, da, da. I will tell you that I'm going to go over this very fast because there are numerous details of which we will be forthcoming with the actual report available to all of you. That said, for each of these topics, there is a principle and a recommendation. And some of these I'll expound, some of them I won't, and I apologize, but please know they'll be available to you. Number one, obtaining ownership. The principle here is that the work group believed that those people that are in danger of injuring themselves should not be allowed to purchase or receive a firearm as a gift or a transfer from another person. We, as a recommendation, support a robust and accurate background check with accordance with all federal laws for all purchases of firearms as noted. With regards to firearm registration, the principle was that a firearm should be transferred with registration in accordance with federal law, similar to other property transfers, such as vehicles or homes. The work group believed that we could support this registration and develop and implement an electronic database for all registered firearms. With regards to licensure, perhaps this was the one area that brought the most discussion, because licensure is felt to be different from the ability to purchase a weapon. The group did not reach a total consensus on this for licensure of all types of firearms. However, the group did support state licensure for concealed carry weapon, the ability to hold and conceal a weapon, and therefore believes that licensure could be therefore applied and may be warranted for other high-capacity, magazine, semi-automatic, high-velocity firearms. So the principle here was certain classes of weapons with significant offensive capabilities are currently appropriately restricted. Machine guns. You can't get a fully automatic weapon without what's called a Class 3 license. It's not available without quite a bit of expense and licensure. To that end, the FAST work group recommended a formal reassessment of firearms designated within each of the national firearms classification. For example, a high-capacity, magazine-fed, semi-automatic, high-velocity firearm should be perhaps evaluated and given perhaps even reclassification as perhaps a level 3 or create a new classification for this weapon. With regards to education and training, it's a new one that's not on there. We just did this last night. But we did recommend gun safety training for all new owners. We recommend direct adult supervision for the use of firearms for children under the age of 12 and indirect supervision for children between the ages of 12 and 18. With regards to ownership and ownership responsibility, we believe that the responsibility of the firearm rests with the registered owner, regardless of the current user. What does that mean? That means that owners are responsible for their weapon at all time, no matter who discharges it. This includes the responsibility of the use of a stolen firearm, unless the person has timely reported the stolen weapon to law enforcement. With regards to law enforcement and what we now call risk mitigation, the principle here is for individuals who are deemed an imminent threat to themselves or others, firearm ownership should be temporarily or permanently restricted based on due process. This is what much was spoken with the last speaker. Recommendations include programs to remove firearms from those individuals should be standard, as it is done in those that are considered extreme risk, such as extreme risk protection order policies, red flag laws, and current federal laws. We believe mandatory reporting to and by law enforcement and medical personnel for those who they feel are threatening themselves or to others should be a standard practice. With regards to firearm and accessory, we've kind of renamed it innovation and technology. Firearm ownership should be made safer through the use of innovative technology, such that is being currently used in automobile safety. What sort of things? There is the technology today in which you could put your hand on a gun, it recognizes your thumbprint, and allows you to pull the trigger. Any other gun would not fire. Therefore, the recommendation was that the group encourages the development of firearm technology that would significantly decrease the risk of self-harm, prevent accidental discharge, children, and discharges by someone other than the registered owner of the firearm. With regards to research, research to understand health conditions is the underpinning of modern medicine, and this group has absolutely no problem with research. The recommendation is that the FAST research group would like to see research for firearm injury and prevention that must be federally funded at a level commensurate with the burden of disease without restriction, and that this research must be conducted in a nonpartisan manner. The culture of violence. We believe that we all own the culture of violence. The work group has concerns that the manner and tone in which the information currently being released to the public and the manner and tone the stories of mass shootings are covered by the press may be leading to copycat shootings. Our recommendation is that the public and professionals in law enforcement and the press should take steps to eliminate notoriety of the shooter and to take an editorial muted approach to the coverage of these events. Social isolation and mental health. The principle here is social isolation combined with exaggerated media depictions of violence, games, etc., may lead to inspired acts of violence. The recommendations is that while solid scientific evidence is yet to be obtained, we have no problem and common sense would dictate that efforts be focused on increasing social capital and decreasing social isolation. We encourage the recognition of mental health warning signs and social isolation by teachers, counselors, peers, and parents. And when these warning signs are identified, refer these to the appropriate mental health professionals. Well, in conclusion, this group is not trying to speak for all firearm owners, but we do believe that the recommendations above are reasonable and strongly preserve the Second Amendment right for responsible fire owners. The group's view also is that democratic government requires responsibility. We are not constitutional scholars, but we do believe that these recommendations do not impinge on the rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. This, as I mentioned, this report will be available for review, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe sooner. I want to thank all of those phenomenal members of this group for their serious and constructive efforts to reduce firearm injuries and violence, which is a goal we all absolutely can support. Thank you.